Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 52, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. 52. On you the Lord shines, and over you his glory will appear. Nations will journey to your light, and kings to your radiance. Let us pray. Almighty God, we offer praise and worship to you today, our God, the one who created the world and in your mercy redeemed the world. All your creation speaks your praise and points us to you, the Creator God and Father of us all. Who are we, Lord, that we should speak to you or approach you at all? We are your creatures who have made ourselves faulty and imperfect, though in creating us you gave us a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. Our knowledge is imperfect, Lord, our love inconstant, and our obedience incomplete. Day by day, we miss opportunities of serving and being effective witnesses for you. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, in your tender mercy, forgive. Lord God, through Jesus Christ, you gave us a new commandment that we should love one another, even as you love us, wandering and unworthy though we are. Help us to leave past ill will behind, and to live so as to be a benefit and a help to others of your people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 137, All Things Bright and Beautiful, 137. We read God's word in the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 9, at verse 1. John chapter 9, at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 209, Father, we praise you. 209. John's Gospel, chapter 9, at verse 36. Tell me who he is, that I should put my faith in him. Isn't this one sentence the heartfelt cry of many a person in every age? Tell me who he is, so that I may believe in him. Tell me of Jesus Christ. Open to me the truth about him. Make him known to me. Make his story come alive, so that I may believe in him. Maybe that cry doesn't often come out in actual words. Maybe people don't even formulate it in their mind. But I am sure that it is the cry from many a heart, even though people might not admit it themselves. They might not admit that what they're really seeking in life is to believe in Jesus. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Is that not a heartfelt cry? Is it not what deep down what many a heart is saying? That sentence is spoken to Jesus by the man whom Jesus had just cured of his blindness. But there were things which happened in between Jesus effecting the cure and this utterance of the man who had been cured. For one thing, there were the Pharisees. They had become upset about it. They'd questioned the man. They'd tried to get him to denounce Jesus. But the man who had been cured had been through quite an overwhelming experience. It had made a very deep impression on him. It had vastly changed his life. He was in no mind to miscall Jesus, who had brought it about. When he was cornered by the Pharisees and forced to say something about Jesus, he first of all simply referred to him as a man. That man they called Jesus, he said, he cured me. Then they asked him, what is your opinion, seeing that he cured you? And the man said, he's a prophet. That was a high compliment to pay to Jesus. Prophets were still held in high esteem, still held a high status in the community. They were thought of as being closer to God than other people were, endowed with special powers. So this man had met Jesus. He doesn't know him well. He knows his name, the man they call Jesus. But then he begins to have some experience of Jesus. He has his sight given to him. That was surely a profound experience for this man. Of all the people Jesus cured, this is the only one of whom the gospel says he had had his infirmity all his life up till then. Blind from birth he was, and now he could see. They tried to get him to denounce Jesus because Jesus had carried out this cure on the Sabbath day. But the man simply said, I don't know anything about that. I only know that I was blind and now I see. When Jesus tracked this man down later on, he faced him with the question, do you believe in the Son of God? And it was then that the man came out with those words, which are such a heartfelt cry of many a human being in every generation. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. According to the Gospels, it was not to many people in the course of his ministry that Jesus revealed the fact that he was the Son of God. But apparently he did reveal it to this man. And there we see the contrast between this man and the professional religious people. To them, this revelation was denied. To the man who was cured of his blindness, it was granted to know that Jesus was the Son of God. What was it that brought about this contrast between the two? Why did the religious experts not have the truth revealed to them, whereas this man did? For one thing, the professional religious people were deeply concerned about keeping the law, especially the law to do with observance of the Sabbath. What people did, or more particularly what they did not do on the Sabbath, that was what mattered to them. A mind concerned with strict observance of rules, not concerned with doing something to help people, and not concerned with getting to know God better. Even although this was the God who was supposed to be honored by all this strict keeping of the rules, what it amounted to was that those people had shut their mind to the truth of Jesus, the truth of who he was. By their hidebound, unflinching attitude, they had effectively closed the door against the possibility of any new truth coming through to them. The closed mind, that's what had done it. Closed the door to revelation. On the other hand, the man who was cured of his blindness, he had a view of Jesus which was developing all the time. First, he spoke merely of the man they call Jesus. Then he came to think of him as a prophet. Then, when he was challenged by Jesus, he showed a genuine desire to know the Son of God. Jesus revealed the truth to him. People say they can't see anything in religion. They don't think there's any need for the church. Some of them are highly intelligent, well-educated people, so it clearly doesn't take high intelligence or a high level of education to come to know the Son of God. Tell me so that I may believe in him, so that I may trust him, so that I may put my life in his hands and trust him for all the fundamentally important issues of life. When I was first coming into the ministry of the Church of Scotland, there was a movement on the go at that time, trying to bring the message of the gospel home afresh to the people of Scotland, in the language of the day, the Tell Scotland movement, it was called. And in all kinds of ways, the church endeavoured to tell the people of Scotland the good news of the gospel. What happened to that movement then? If the church was telling Scotland of Jesus Christ all those years ago, what has happened to those who heard the message? Why are they not all in the church today? Tell Scotland. Tell the world, Jesus had said. Right back at the very beginning, hadn't he? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to observe all I have commanded you. Not just tell them once. Make disciples. If that was to be the commission of his first disciples, to go and make more disciples, then it was going to be a long job. Jesus had spent a lot of time with his original disciples, teaching them, bringing home to them the truth of God, helping them to become the kind of people who would serve God in the world. Making disciples. From the very beginning, making disciples had meant a lot more than just telling them once what there was to be told. Telling them not only in words, telling them by means of his whole life. That is what Jesus himself did, and that has to be the way that disciples are made. The man who was cured of his blindness had seen Jesus for himself, experienced him. He'd come to know what Jesus was like, who he was and what he could do. And he asked that the message of the Son of God should be driven home to him so that he could base his life on this great truth. Tell me so that I may believe in him. When we think of it all, this is what the church is involved in doing. Through all the centuries and down all the ages, telling people so that they may believe in him. Telling people of the truth of Jesus Christ is more than just telling a story, more than just telling a historical fact or a set of facts. It's telling people with our whole life, telling them in the most telling way. What we have to tell people is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus Christ saves. Saves lives from being at the mercy of earthly circumstances. Saves lives for the eternal life of God. There are words we can say. There are moments we can celebrate. There are events we can organize. But the world is still crying out with the cry which was uttered by the man who was cured of his blindness on the Sabbath day. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. It's a very real cry, a very desperate cry. You and I need to ask God to help us to dedicate to him our whole life, so that by our whole life we may tell them, so that they may believe in him. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 336, Christ is our light. 336. Let us pray. Almighty God, in glad thanksgiving for your goodness, we bring you our offerings. We pray that they may be used wisely to further your purpose, and that we have the power to present to you also our very selves for your service. We thank you for all your goodness. All through our life, we have your guiding hand and your sustaining love. We thank you for precious memories of the past and good hopes for the future, happy times and testing times. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, for the work of your Holy Spirit, for the fellowship of the Church, for all the ways by which your grace can find access to our life. We pray for those who are in need. Help them and help us to help them. Bless the wide fellowship of Christians throughout the world, which is the church. Bless the church where we are, the congregations and parishes of Ardeer and Livingston. Help us to bear our part in the work of your kingdom. Bless and guide those in positions of authority and influence, and bless the world with peace. Be with those who are ill, and those for whom especially we pray today, and grant them your peace. Bless our homes, that love and joy may live there, and keep those absent from us in your constant care. Lord God, we thank you for people of every age and every place, people who have worshipped here in days gone by, people who have worshipped alongside us in more recent times. We thank you for what we have learned from them and what we've gained from their fellowship. We thank you that that fellowship remains unbroken and that nothing can separate us from your love, which will bless each future period as it has blessed the past. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 512, To God Be the Glory, 512.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.